For confirmation this morning, I would like to change what I'm doing at the early and later services and focus just on this wonderful occasion of confirmation and to certify first what we are doing and so as to leave no doubt to say what we are not doing. The first thing that I'd like to suggest to you is that confirmation is not graduation. It's just the beginning. The fun is just beginning. And we will go through this service and look at what we are doing in terms of the laying on of hands today. But if you would open your booklets to page 3, you will notice right off something that might be rather strange, and that is the first question addressed to the candidates. Do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil? Now, with that beginning, that's the reason we say that the fun is only intensifying, because at this moment, those who are being confirmed are standing up and acknowledging the promises that were made for them at their baptism. In that context, the church will lay its hands upon their heads and strengthen them for service. But what that is saying is that Christian living is tough business. And anybody who doesn't understand that is setting themselves up for problems. Christian living is tough business not only for those who are being confirmed, but for adult disciples as well. And then once we get that context set, you'll notice the next question. Do you renew your commitment to Jesus Christ? It's important to understand the source of our ability to live as Christians disciples, and that is because of the work done for us in the person of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. So the promises that we are making to reaffirm the renunciation of evil are done because we believe in the grace that comes from God and that gives us the grace to begin to do that. The thing that's important for young people to understand is that the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross is given before we were born, before we ever were, and everything that you have already done that you ought not to have done has been forgiven, and everything that you will do that you ought not to do has been forgiven. The grace of God is a grace that will not let us go. It's not something that we can earn. And when I talk to young people about that, they get the notion sometimes that that you can do most anything that you want to do. But what that is really saying is that the love that God has for us is not something that we can earn, nor is the love that we have from our parents something that we can earn. There is nothing more painful than for a person to believe that in order to be loved by the family of origin that they have to earn that. It is a free gift all of our life long. Even in terms of relationships, there is nothing that is more destructive to a human relationship than to realize that that relationship was not free. Have you ever heard someone say to you, "After all I've done for you"? What that means is there was a price tag attached to that. And so one of the things that we want to get in touch with in terms of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that there is no price tag attached to us. It is His work. Grace is His work. And it is given to us for free. The only thing that we have to do is stand on it and to believe it. The next thing that I'd like to point out to you in this service is you'll notice the next question which you as members of this congregation will answer. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? In other words, when we're commissioning those who have been baptized, now confirmed in further discipleship, one of the things that we're saying is that you can count on this congregation. You can count on this Christian family to support you in your discipleship. just like a child ought to be able to count on his or her human family to support them as they grow and mature. And so this is the promise that you make. You might want to think, as members of this congregation, how will you support these who are being confirmed? Are you enthusiastic about the youth work that is here? Are you the kind of congregation that the love and the transforming grace of God can be seen in the way that you live together? Because one of the things that we know is that children watch parents. They also watch other Christians. And so the testimony, the living testimony of a congregation is such a precious and important gift. It's not something that we do as an obligation. It's something that we do out of what I would call the grace and the love of God. And then you'll notice on page 4 that once that promise is made by the congregation itself states the source of its ability to do that by standing up and reciting the baptismal covenant, which is found in the words of the creed. And in that creed, we restate, if you will, the wonderful gift that God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. In studying the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that you will see is after the 3rd chapter in the Gospel of Mark, when the Herodians and the Pharisees begin to plot against Jesus, Jesus never goes back into the synagogue again except one time in his home country. And then after that moment, he begins to preach only in parables and to act only in parables. And people have often said, why is that? Well, the answer is that in order to understand a parable, it takes a commitment. We have to make a commitment to it. And then once we make a commitment to it, we have to act on it. And then once we act on it, we have to persevere. That's the way we understand. But you see, one of the things that we need to understand about that is the nature of all relationships. If you are sitting here in this church married today, how did that happen? First, you made a commitment to know the person. Secondly, you acted on it. And thirdly, you persevered. Otherwise, you're single today. And that's the nature of all relationships, and that is the nature of our relationship with God. And so the congregation, standing on the promise of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, commits itself to stand on that grace so that the children we have in our midst can see it alive. And then it asks various questions about that perseverance. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching, in the scripture, for instance, in the worship, the breaking of bread? How will you have a relationship with God if you don't persevere in it? Will you persevere in resisting evil and repent when you make a mistake? One of the great gifts of forgiveness is that when we make a mistake, we're already forgiven. That's why we can repent. And we as Christian people have life anew by repentance. Then we witness to where we get this wonderful grace in the good news of Jesus Christ. And then we commit to serve Christ in all persons, to see Jesus Christ in every person that walks on the street that you see, not in every other person, not in the ones that we like or dislike, but in every person, and strive for justice and peace in that. And then having done that, we have a litany of prayer asking God to deliver us, to turn our hearts, to give us His Holy Spirit. For the gift of the Holy Spirit gives us the eyes to see. And one of the things that perseverance in a relationship to God does is it gives us a vision to see the world differently, a spiritual sight. I was talking to a group of students the other day, and we were talking about spiritual sight, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit to see Jesus as crucified, resurrected as the grace of God, because many people look at that and don't see it. And this person said to me, Bishop, I don't think there is any such thing as spiritual sight. Well, I said, have you ever heard somebody say, what does she see in him? that spiritual sight, nobody else sees it, you see. And the precious gift of the Holy Spirit is to open our eyes so that we see more than what we can photograph, to see the hand of God in the world around us, to see the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And then once we've done that, then we'll put a chair in here in the middle of the aisle, and we will have the laying on of hands. Defend, O Lord, this thy servant with thy heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to your everlasting kingdom. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, to ask God to open our eyes so that in Jesus Christ we can see his mercy standing all around us. And that's what we're going to do in this service of confirmation this morning. But I'd like to make just one other point as we begin to think about what we're all about. I've had an interesting experience to live again in Washington, D.C. I went there for seminary a long time ago. But one of the things that is particularly interesting to me, in every place where you live, there is power. There's power here in this community. There's power everywhere. There's nothing new about that. But to live in Washington, D.C. is to live almost in the center of power. It's an amazing place. What goes on there affects the whole world. And not only that, what goes on there affects the whole country. And to watch how that system works around the context of power and billions of dollars and people lobbying to see money spent this way or that way. What you really see is, I think, in the temptations of our Lord, what the glitter and the power of the world really looks like. And it's very impressive. And there are impressive people there. And there are impressive things that are done. But, you know, the thing that that dawned on me ever more deeply being in ministry there is that there is nothing more powerful than what I would call the willful love of God. When the Holy Scripture says that God is love, it's not talking about maple syrup and sentimental things. What it's saying is that love is the basis of all life, and if we don't have it, we are not whole. Just 2 weeks ago, a 14-year-old boy was driving a car in Washington, D.C. so that his companions in the car could shoot and kill five other teenagers. And if you began to look at that life, of a life that was not wanted by anybody, that passed through six foster homes and utterly trashed, you know, when life is not loved by its source, it is deformed. And if you think about somebody like the President of the United States, whose father deserted him, all those things have an impact. The power of love is the power to make life whole. And there's not enough money in the world to rival that anywhere. No power in the world is like the love that makes life whole, that restores life. That's why the love of God is so impressive. I told the story this morning that when I was the acting dean of the seminary in Wisconsin, I had a young man come and want to talk to me about applying to seminary, and I asked him to come into my office. We hadn't talked but a few minutes, and it was clear to me that this conversation was going to take some rather serious bent. And I said, why don't we go outside, because just 50 feet outside my office, we were on the shores of Neshota Lake, which was one of the beautiful glacial lakes up there. And we sat on the bench, and I talked to him for about an hour and a half. And I heard the story, not of someone who should go into the ministry and care for others, but someone whose life was so distorted that he wanted to solve it that way. And he told me the story of being abused by his father, and what an angry man he was about that, and how much he hated his father. We sat there on the bench, and I said, you know, Philip, and that's not his name, the Lord Jesus Christ that I know has already died to forgive all that garbage that you're carrying around and that you can't let go of, and that keeps you stuck to that pain. And so we sat there, and I said some prayers for him, and we went into the chapel and did a rite of penance. And you know what we saw emerging there was new life, because he felt a love, the love of God, that was able to touch something that had never been touched in his life before. So when we talk about confirmation, we're talking about the love of God crucified and resurrected, who emptied himself and declared every human life to be precious, especially the lives that we are confirming today. And this congregation is committing itself to live in such a way that the merciful love of God will touch their lives, because many demands will come to them. We live in a distorted world where teenagers are in serious trouble oftentimes. What they need to see is a congregation here who knows how to forgive, who knows how to love, who knows how to care, because that's what God has done for us. And for that, we can all say, thanks be to God. Amen.